In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I usually, when I give a homily, focus on the gospel or the theme of the day. But today I'm going to focus on the epistle reading because it gives us that famous passage on love that I couldn't pass up. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Just to hear it once again says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Another translation says, love never seeks its own way. That's also enlightening as well. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or never fails. Some have said, and they have said correctly, that you could put Jesus instead of love, and it would make perfect sense. Because he models and exemplifies through his life, he literally expresses in the flesh all of these attributes of love. And because Paul the Apostle had a direct experience of the Lord on the road to Damascus and then was taught by him for 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia, he could say that love was all these things because Jesus is all these things. We're called to express all of these same attributes. But if we look at the world around us, if we look at ourselves and we're honest, we would say, I don't measure up. I fall far short of that. And so I wanted to read to you another passage from the Apostle John. John is the beloved disciple. Jesus loved all of his disciples as much as anybody could be loved, but he had a special place in his heart for John. And so it's no wonder that John writes so much about love. In his first epistle to the church, Universal, chapter 4, he says the following, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to take away our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I wanted to read this to you because I wanted to underscore and emphasize doubly how impossible it is for us to love in this way without God in us, without God before us. He is the model, the prototype. He is the example par excellence of love. Now, I wanted to take the risk of love. Love is always risky. And offer an application to us as the community of St. Catherine. And I even asked Father Lou if I could do this. He said, sure, go ahead. I wanted to apply this in our coming to church. And I wanted to remind us of one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, when Exodus lists those Ten Commandments. Believe it or not, the most verbiage, the most text, is devoted to this commandment. I don't think it's the most important. The shortest one's probably the most important. Love the Lord your God and have no other gods before him. But this one is intimately connected to that one. Why do you think that God says, set aside one day and put me first on that day? Demonstrate your love for me on that day in a way that shows that you love me more than anything else in the world, that you have no other gods but me. It's so that in carving out space for him to put him first on this day, we might remember and realize and apply it to the whole week, and by extension, our whole life, that all of time is holy, not just one day. By placing God first and demonstrating by our actions that we are putting him first on this one day, every day of the week, and by extension, every day and every moment of our life, can be symbolized by the way we put God first on this day. So God wants us to come to church. And it was way back, centuries and centuries ago, based on the event of the resurrection, that the Christian church moved the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Because the holy fathers and mothers of the church wanted us to be able to celebrate together as the body of Christ, one body made up of many members, this event that is at the center of all human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To celebrate it together every week so that we never forget that Christ has trampled down death by his death and that we no longer have to fear death. How transformative that fact is if we remember it. Look how it changed the holy apostles themselves and those who were disciples in the very first century. It changed everything for them. And when we remember it, it changes everything for us. So what I wanted to remind you, and I want you to take it as encouragement, because it's so easy for us to fall into bad habits. It's so easy for us to forget. And this is the habit of coming to church late. If you've noticed, if you look around, we have been getting worse. Today was good, but we have been getting worse in our habit of coming to church late. And don't think that I am coming from this legalistically. Don't think that I'm standing up here scolding you in any way. Again, it's a reminder and an encouragement. If priests do anything, we stand as cheerleaders, reminding and encouraging. So I wanted to bring up a few points for us to think about. And these points tie into the rest of our life, and I want us to think about how they tie into our relationship with God. The first one is, think about important appointments in your life. What if you had a really important interview and your job depended on this interview? Would you be late? I don't think so. Would you be early? Yes, in a very socially appropriate way, you would be early. You would want to get there ahead of time to scope out the situation, to make sure that you have your interview game face on, that you are prepared. How about an athletic contest? When have you as a fan ever showed up at an athletic contest and not already seen the players there for hours probably getting ready? Who in their right mind would show up just on time or a little late for the game? There's no way. I did that one time by accident. I had to get out of school and go to a league track meet, And I literally showed up at the track in time to run the 300-meter hurdles. Not a good idea. Okay? I was so stiff that I would fall behind going over the hurdle and try to catch up in between the hurdles. And didn't turn out well. How about a performance, any kind of performance? Have you ever gone to an orchestra and saw the symphony show up after you did? They were there warming up, tuning up, coordinating, being ready. So I don't need to belabor that point. How about the witness to our children? We parents. Do you know that all of the most recent surveys of the 21st century, all of them without exception, show that children are leaving the church at an unprecedented rate? Now, I'm not talking about little children. I'm talking about 16 to 30-year-olds. They are leaving the church at an unprecedented rate because of the number one thing they say is the inconsistent witness of the Christians around them. We, as parents have, and grandparents, and godparents, and adults, have a sacred responsibility to provide an incredible witness to our children of who and what we love and what our priorities are. And I can't think of a worse witness than to bring your children late to church, to show them that you don't care enough to come on time for the most important appointment that you could possibly have for the divine liturgy. That you wouldn't come and warm up because you want to show them that you are not a passive participant, but that you are a player on the field. That you are here to pray and to worship God and to do the divine work of the people, to intersect with the very kingdom of God, to merge your lives with the saints and the bodiless powers, and to prepare yourself in such a way to receive Christ's body and blood in your own body and blood, and to show that priority and that love and that commitment and that sacrifice to your children. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, because it is a consistent witness that really plants the seed deep in those children's hearts. And then the final point I wanted to make is the witness that we provide to people who come and visit this church. What kind of witness is it when they read on our website that the liturgy starts at 9:30 and they show up because they're seeking the kingdom of God, and maybe they're going to find it here, and we don't show up until 10:15, 10:30, and they're wondering, wow, look at all these people coming at this time and this time and this time. This is an important opportunity that we have. Sometimes people come and they never come back. When they come, we want to envelop them, not only with our love and our friendliness, which we do a fantastic job at, but we want to provide them a witness of people who seriously love God and put Him first, who have taken that time to come for this important meeting. So my dear brothers and sisters, I said that was my last point, but really the last point that I really want to end on is that I'm encouraging you and reminding you to change this habit in your life, primarily for yourselves. Because it goes back to what I said in the beginning, why God gave us this commandment in the first place. When we make the Sabbath holy, when we demonstrate that we love God more than anything else, more than reading the paper, more than diddling and daddling around at the house, more than sleeping a little longer, more than our disorderliness or whatever it is that gets us falling behind so that we don't get here on time. All of those things, when we set them aside and we put God first, it changes something inside of us. And that has a residual momentum throughout the week. It helps us to take God with us in an intimate an important way through everything that we do, Monday, Tuesday, through the next Saturday, and it comes back into the Sabbath again. So my dear brothers and sisters, take this in the spirit in which it is meant, the spirit of love, that I am encouraging you and reminding you to change that habit and to put God first in this most important appointment. Amen.